one job, pastor job, for the last 2 days, so that's why he's vacation. And Judy and I took her mom up to the airport yesterday, and then met the bishops, and the bishops had said that if we'd spring for a hotel room, they'd buy tickets to the Neil Diamond concert. So we went to see Neil Diamond last night. It was great. I was telling Larry, I said, yeah, I knew it was going to be great because I like him, but he exceeded my expectations. And it was just absolutely great. And then got up this morning and had a nice breakfast. And it's one of these places, you know, they serve hors d'oeuvres at night. Well, that was supper for us. You know, I mean, meatballs and fruit and chicken wings and all, you know, all kinds of other stuff. I mean, that's dinner. And then breakfast, the brunch is waffles and sausage and so then we felt like we ought to at least buy one meal, so we went and had lunch today, and I was just, it went to Mexican food and had lunch, and it was, so we all ordered off the luncheon menu, thinking that, you know, smaller portions. They were huge. Just huge. And, but we just had a great time. I came back revived and semi-refreshed. And and full. Okay, let's take a minute and make sure that we're testing the Holy Spirit to teach us, and ready to see what God has for us today. Let's pray. Father, once again, we do thank you for your many blessings, and thank you for the freedom that we still enjoy in this nation. We want to pray for Mr. Spahn and his family. Only lost so far in combat in Afghanistan. We want to pray for them. And Father, I pray that as we study today, that your Spirit will just teach us. Protect us from the evil one as we look into the victory of Jesus Christ over the evil one for all eternity. These things I pray now in the name of our Jesus. Amen. Well, we are on the home trip, people. Honest and truly. And we are at Leo. The lion. And we started with Virgo, the virgin birth of Christ. We end with Leo, the lion, and the total, complete defeat and destruction of Lucifer thrown into outer darkness for all eternity. The word Leo actually means he who tears asunder. And so what we're going to have here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ at his second advent. This chapter 12 in the Zodiac, we could entitle this, God Wins, God Wins, in honor of Harry Carey. And let's look at Revelation chapter 5 for just a minute. John says, then I saw the right hand of him, this is God the Father, who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. Now, this is a scroll with writing on both sides, obviously showing that God conserves resources. There's a lot here. That's why it's on both sides. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, only Jesus, only he is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. In other words, he's saying, His word is to break the seals and open the scrolls, and the answer, obviously, is only Jesus Christ. But no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth could open the scroll or look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. See, look. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He's won. He's had the victory. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb. Now, what we're going to see here is the contrast. Excuse me, I'll turn on my fan. Well, I'm turning it on now. The earth moves. The whole heaven moves, yes. Woo! The heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. Now, okay, I'll point that right out to you. When you, I'm sure we'll be able to see it on this overhead. There you go, right there. Now, did you see it? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We're going to see the contrast between Jesus Christ, the Lion, but at the same time, He is the Lamb of God. And so, His dealings with us, those who have accepted His and responded to His love, His dealing with us is as the Lamb. Gentle as the Lamb. On the other hand, those who have rejected His love, such as Islam, His dealing with them is as a lion. Who, you know, this whole thing is, who's worthy to be God? Bishop and I were talking, even in the war, he recognized this, in the war that we're fighting in Afghanistan, the issue is over who is Jesus Christ. Is He just a good guy? A prophet? One of the many prophets? As Islam teaches? Or is He God? Now, you look at the cult, whether it's Islam, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, whatever. Especially those three. And what do you have? All of them, which are satanic, Satan-inspired. Is that politically correct to say? Okay. Okay, well, I probably won't get in as much trouble as Frank and Jim. well, nobody cares what I say. but all of them say Jesus as just a man. As a prophet. And the issue is He God or man? Is He the God-man or just a man? And in eternity and in heaven, and we get to the last judgment, then Jesus Christ will be shown to be not just a man, but He will be shown to be the Lion of Judah. And at that time, He will take those who have said, "He's just a man, he's just a prophet, or all roads lead to Rome," which means they lead to heaven. Who wants to go to Rome? And He will destroy them, because he's going to destroy all of those who are associated with the serpent. And they will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And so in verse 6, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out unto all the earth. Seven spirits of God is really a title for the Holy Spirit. Now, he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, here he is. We really have a hard time comprehending this, because Jesus Christ has always existed as God, and then one day he exists as the God-man, and now he will always continually exist as the God-man. But he's also continually existing as God. I'll let you think about that. In other words, it's just if he came from point A to point B, but when he gets to point B, he's still at point A. Just part of the incomprehensibility of God. So he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. This is God the Father in verse 8. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. They sang the new song, which you can read about also in chapter 4. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seal. Would you like me to sing the song? No, I'm not. I didn't bring my harp. Yeah, worthy of, I'll sing it for you when I get to heaven. Okay? I know, some of you who's gonna hear it's gotta be now, but, you're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased, you redeemed men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's Libra. Jesus Christ redeeming us from the slave market of sin. How did he do it? With his blood, his work on the cross. Please, when you see this term, with the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus, it is so much more and so much greater and so much more important than his literal blood. It's his entire work on the cross. And let me tell you, when somebody makes a big thing out of the literal blood of Jesus, everything, and they're talking about blood, they're degrading the work of Christ. I mean, they might as well be holding up with my speaker sign. Okay. Because it is so much greater. It speaks of redemption. It speaks of the fact that God the Father was propitiated or satisfied by his work on the cross. It speaks of the fact that our sins were paid for, atoned for in full. That's the Lamb. And so, you see, he's the Lion, he's the Redeemer. He's the Leo, he's Libra. Now it says, just read it out here. Again, verse 9, and they sang a new song, you're worthy to take the scroll and open the seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, and every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. One of the reasons that you and I were purchased by Jesus Christ on the cross was so that we can serve God. That's one of the things that we're going to begin to see more and more of. So, this is Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, from the root of David, who's also the Lamb of God. So he's the Lion of Judah, he's God, he's our Savior, and he is pictured as the Lion because he defeats Lucifer, Satan. There is not a fiercer animal in the jungle than the lion. He is just marvelous. And Jesus, the lion, is going to capture Lucifer and throw him into the lake of fire. The lion is so powerful. His claw, when, first of all, he can hit an ox on the back just with his paw and break its back. It's like swinging a 25-pound sledgehammer. He can hit a horse or a zebra on the head with his paw and break its skull. I mean, we're talking power here. One of the things he loves to do is take the head of his enemy into his jaws and just touch it. And 9 out of 10 times, that is fatal when your head cut, like a ripe cantaloupe. Okay? It's just, I don't know what it is, but when your brains fall out of your cranium, it's almost always fatal. Well, I was giving you an exception. I didn't want to say Larry had been an exception. I was rushing when he's been on vacation. I have heard the lion roar in Africa. That sounds, you know. And it is something that just terrorizes you. And there's you. And you know, the male lion, he's pretty lazy. But I was thinking about this, there's a lot of similarities here. The male lion normally doesn't do the hunting. The females do the hunting. Yeah. Okay, but when a dangerous enemy comes into the periphery of the pride, that's when he does his job and destroys it. Doesn't make any difference what it is. Buffalo, elephant, doesn't make any difference. Okay? Now think about this analogy. The lioness is the bride of the lion. Is that correct? And he does the normal things and serves him. But when it comes to real enemies and protection, he serves her. Now can you see us in Jesus Christ? We serve him. And in normal combat, we handle it. Eating, so forth. Okay, that's our combat. We eat, food, encouragement, all through his power. Power of the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to our real enemy, Lucifer, we defer him. And he handles it. I just think that's a beautiful analogy. And as Sally said, when you hear, especially at night in Africa, you hear that lion roar, it will send goosebumps through you. Yeah, we were in the safety of a bus in the daytime, but at night we were just in this little hut in this reserve. And why don't you come through this grass hut? But you don't have to outrun the lion. You just have to outrun one of your friends. Now. But, yes. When he does. That's correct. And part of that, notice that, okay, here's the eclipse of the sun. This is the pattern that the sun travels in the universe, okay? And Leo is in the pattern, all the major constellations are. But you notice that this is unique, that here all three of the deuterons are outside of the pattern for a particular reason. They're in darkness, away from forever. Okay? Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned this, but a lion, when it, just with its paw, when it, in its claws, it can put a 4-inch deep cut with each one of its claws as it goes through the hide of an animal. Now, 4 inches is pretty deep. When you've been stressed or something like that, you've been stressed. And yet, powerful, powerful paws, it is so nimble and so quick. So nimble, so quick. It's strong, it's brave, it's daring, it's confident. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ, daring. Dared to become pure humanity. Dared to go to the cross to pay for our sins. I mean, can you see that's just not normal course of events. But confident because he trusted the Father. And the lion brings terror to both man and beast. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. When the lion is angry, he is your worst enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the worst enemy of those who have angered him, so to speak, because they have refused to accept his work on the cross and have rather decided that they would work for eternal life themselves. So, in this picture, which we have in Revelation 5, we have the final act of the warfare between God and Lucifer. Again, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. In Genesis 49, when Jacob blessed his son, he pronounced Judah as a lion. And he told him and his brothers that his brothers and mankind would praise and worship Judah. By the way, of all the tribes of Israel, men are as warlike and successful in battle as those from the tribe of Judah. I'll give you an example named David. Okay? Let's look at Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's just look at verse 37. A couple of those verses. I pursued my my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back, so they were destroyed. I crushed them so they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. This is perhaps how I want to deal with the Taliban. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. That's surrender. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them to the Lord. But he did not answer. In other words, cries for help. Lucifer is going to cry for help. To God, help me, help me. No help. He'll be cast into the lake of fire. Now, this applies, obviously, to David. But it also applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 46. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes and violent men. You rescued me. Therefore I will praise you among the nations. O Jehovah, I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David, and his descendants forever. So that describes David. It describes the Lord Jesus Christ. People, in his first advent, Christ is the Lamb. I told you that. He provides eternal salvation by a sacrifice on the cross. Now he's Leo. He's the Lion. In the first advent, as the Lamb, he, as the victim, he sacrificed himself on the cross. As Himself, the high priest, he offered himself as a sacrifice. That's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. That's the first advent. But at his second advent, he becomes the Lion. He becomes an entirely, no pun intended, different animal. Okay. Lamb, lion. And at the second advent, okay, let's go back. At first advent, lamb, essence of God, what part of his essence is emphasized as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Love. Is that right? Now, let me ask you this. Let's look at his essence. He is sovereign. As the Lamb of God, as the God-man, was he sovereign? Yeah. He is righteous and justice. Yes. As the God-man, as the Lamb of God, was he righteous? Was he just? Law. Does that describe him? Yeah. So, when you look, well, let's go through the rest of them. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Now, you see, there is Jesus Christ in his humanity, one place at one time, but he's also omnipresent. You got that? Because he's God. He's omniscient. He thought all thoughts in eternity past at once, simultaneously. Yet in his humanity, he learns like anyone else. He's omnipotent. He's in his cradle, Hebrews tells us, he's holding the universe together by the word of his mouth. That's omnipotence, right? He's out in the wilderness, he's hungry. When it comes time to carry his cross, he needs help. Right? He's immutable. Doesn't change. He is veracity. He is truth. He is eternal life. Yet, when we think of the Lamb of God, here is the attribute that we emphasize, love, because that's our point of contact with him for children. Correct? But he's still just. He's still father, and that's all I want you to see. Second advent. Justice is the attribute that will be emphasized. Is that right? See? Justice. I'm sorry, what? His justice was satisfied on the cross as far as personal sin was concerned, not rejection of the sin bearer. What's the unpardonable sin? Saying no to the Holy Spirit, who's convicting us of the needs of salvation. Okay? So, those who reject Christ, and those who, and it's kind of poetic justice, because what you have is, you have people say, we think we're good enough to go to heaven on our own. So they are appealing to his justice. Oh, okay. Well, let's just measure your goodness, your good work, against my perfect goodness. Oh, you lose. And when he cast Lucifer into the lake of fire, and all unbelievers, the emphasis is on his justice. Let's read a couple of passages, maybe bring that out. Look at Hosea. Can you see? I'm sorry. Hosea chapter 13. That was bad, wasn't it? But I appreciate your laugh, John. It's just before Joel. Yeah, it's between Daniel and Joel. Okay. Look at verse 4. But I, Hosea chapter 13, verse 4. But I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior but me. Isn't that interesting? I cared for you in the desert, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. Isn't that just like us? God saves us. He loves us. He provides for us. We all need him. Oh, I don't need God. I don't need to spend time in prayer. Oh, I don't need to come to church. It's not important that a church teaches grace and faith. You know, it's just, So I will come upon them like a lion. Now, we're talking here about unbelievers. You see, remember, all believers, when God brought the Jews out of Egypt, they were all believers, only believers, see now. And then they begin to forgive them. You know, little kids are born, they see that. Who needs God? Who needs the Lamb? There are other saviors. Notice, I want to go back to verse 4. Look, have you heard this? Well, sure. Christianity believes that they're saved by Jesus. And then other people believe they're saved by Buddha or Muhammad or, you know, this. And that's all okay. Now, and when a nation starts, and if people start saying, well, there are other ways to be saved. They're not right. Now, someone says, you know, I believe we're saved through Buddha. Then you get in the gospel and say, oh, I believe that too. Now I have Buddha and I got Jesus. I got my basic covered. Are they saved? Yeah. Because what do they believe about Jesus? That he's a way. Not the way. A way. See the difference? Now he says, we're talking about in eternity. I will come upon them like a lion, like a leopard. I will work by the path like a bear robbed of her cubs. Now, there's another animal that's not nice. Even the little brown bears up around Mount Lemmon, next spring, go up to Mount Lemmon and spend some time and find a little brown bear with a cub. Yeah. And you go to bed, and you go up, you know, and you find one of her cubs and run in and just grab the cub and hold it. You will discover the wrath of a bear. So just like a bear cub, a bear has been robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart. Now, he's a lion, but to those who have trusted him as Savior, he's a lion. Even in the book of Revelation. So, in eternity, we get to heaven, after the rapture, wedding feast, it comes time for the second advent, Jesus turns into a lion. During the tribulation, everything is for one arm. He's our lamb. He's the unbeliever's lion. Look at Revelation 13. I love this. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. And all of the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names has not been written in the book of life, which belongs, it's the book that belongs to the Lamb of God who was slain from the creation of the world. If you just read this in the English, especially at least in the NIV, you can become confused. I read it. All whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb. Their names were not written in the book of life. The book of life belongs to the Lamb. So that participle is hard to comprehend if you're not careful. So it's the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the foundation of the world. So, let's go back to justice for a minute. (Clears throat) Does justice have a connotation of unfair? Is that what we mean? We say, I hope justice is done here. That means something unfair. Is that what I mean? It says. Right. Is that true? So, justice, I want you to get this. He always does what is fair, what is right. Okay? Now, think about this. Does that justice ever spill over to us as his children? Yeah. No matter, but see what is tempered by his love? Do you see that? So what do I know about his love? It's always fair. It's always right. You see where I'm going and don't? God is many-faceted, shall we say, in his essence. He's not just one thing. We have a tendency sometimes in whole theological groups to divide it up that way. You know, one group grabs the sovereignty of God and they hold on to that for dear life. And if you read their teaching and they go to their preaching and you just think that God, that was all he had. And then somebody else grabs justice. You say, well, that's the only attribute of God. And I want to be careful of having described love and you think that's his only attribute. He is sovereign. He is just. He is righteous. Righteousness, though, is closer to love than justice. Because he does what ought to be done. So he deals with us in love. His love is always fair. Therefore, I can always trust his love, even when it doesn't look right, because I know he's a God of love, and he's a just God, and therefore his love is always fair. Does that make sense to you? But to the unbeliever, the emphasis is on the justice. That's the big one. And the little one is love. Does he still love the unbeliever? Yeah, sent his son to die for him. Loves them with infinite love. But they have rejected his love and said, we want to deal with justice. So I said, okay. No problem. Into the lake of fire. Is God just in crushing Lucifer's head? Yeah. Yeah. It didn't measure up to his justice or his righteousness. Yeah, they just couldn't do it. But what they're saying is we can be as good as God. And so it's like, okay, you'll be as good as God? Well, you better be as good as God, because if you're not, you deal with justice. Okay. And nobody can be as good as God. Now, during the entire tribulation, what is the world beginning to see? Especially the last half of tribulation. Would you say they're beginning to see more the justice of God or the love of God? Plague comes along, wipes out 30 years. Another one comes along, wipes, you know? Justice, isn't it? Yeah. Let's just go with the next page. Revelation 14. We've seen this. Last half of tribulation. John says, then I saw another, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in midair. This is at the The word midair is literally at the highest point of the sun at noon. And he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. See, this is the deal where every day at noontime, the gospel program comes on. It's the heavenly gospel program. The love of God is manifested. Here he is, bringing all types of tribulation to the earth. Why? So they'll listen to the gospel. Now, I'll tell you what is beyond me. Okay? This is beyond me. That when Jesus comes back to the earth, second advent, what is beyond my comprehension is there are any unbelievers. That's beyond my comprehension. Here are these tremendous plagues, and here's an angel up here every day at noon giving the gospel. And I said, there is no God. So, he proclaims the eternal gospel. It's the same gospel. Always been, always will be. Now, he said in a loud voice, here's some of what he said. Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Then another angel comes by. This is, you know, every day. Wow. And so this angel, he gives the gospel every day. Then we have a second one comes by. Verse 8. The second angel followed and said, okay, these guys, I have some good news, and I have some bad news. Okay? There's some good news, bad news. He says, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adultery. So he talks about her religion. Then a third angel comes and says in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of the torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Now, can you imagine? Here comes this three angels, and I just can't imagine somebody not paying attention to them. But then, let him who has an ear hear. So, here's God telling them, if you don't believe, the message of the second two angels is this, literally. If you don't believe the message of the first angel, you're going to go to hell. Is that pretty much the synopsis? And they say, there are going to be, obviously, unbelievers, but that's what amazes me. That's what amazes me. And they would just say no. So do you see? While he is demonstrating his wrath, he's also demonstrating his love. So on the one hand, Jesus Christ will be our Lamb. He's the Lamb to those who will accept him as Savior. But on the other hand, he's the Lion. The Lion is the demonstration of his justice. The Lamb is the demonstration of his love. And even while he's being the Lion to the unbeliever, he's the Lamb to us. Okay? A couple of stars I'm going to talk about in this constellation. One is Regal, And regal means the feet with crutch. Look at Psalm 91. The feet with crutch. Notice where dear old lion is. And in fact, in the Egyptian zodiac, it's the feet are actually on the head of the serpent. Here, they just, you know, he's going right after him there. Look at Psalms 91, verse 13. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Now, in Revelation 91, and all I want you to see here is the whole idea here means to trample under foot. And what you literally have is the great lion trampling the serpent under foot. Under his foot. And that's what regal, one of the stars, means. The feet with crutch. Another star is means the judge or the Lord who comes with haste. Let me tell you, at the second advent, he's going to be the Lord who comes quickly. Agabeah, the exalted. I like Soma, Z-O-S-M-A, the shining forth, or the epiphany. He is the shining forth, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another star in Leo means the punishing or the tearing of him who lays waste. Genev means the judge who seizes or violently take. And another star means the putting down of the enemy. Once again, here are all of these stars named by God throughout history. That's been their name. And look what they mean. They tell the story in themselves. Let's look at the first deton. Let's go real quick. Hydra. That's the snake that had 100 heads. Kind of reminded me a lot of the government. Every time you cut off one head, two heads grew back. It's kind of like every time the government tries to solve one problem, two problems of equal or greater propensity grow back. Hercules went and cut off their heads, remember, with his helper, and they speared them so they didn't grow back. Hercules, Jesus Christ, defeats him. But the point is this. From Genesis 3 on, we see the mission of the seed of the woman, of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It was to bruise or to crush the head of the great serpent. I wonder if that's an accident. Probably is. That the serpent is throughout the zodiac one of the central characters of the zodiac. Why? Because the zodiac is about the warfare between Jesus Christ and Lucifer. So you got two people, obviously, in a play with two people. One of them will be the central character, and so will the other. Deep thought. But notice that throughout the zodiac, it is the serpent who is constantly trying to overthrow God, to grab the throne of God, whatever the case may be. He is the deceiver. One of it's an accident that we have a serpent all of the zodiac, and it's the serpent who deceives the woman in the garden. Okay. Probably just a huge coincidence. No. People, the gospel was given in the stars from the foundation of the world, it was there. And it will be given again, as we saw in the last half of the tribulation. Now, to Hydra, the snake. Satan is started out as Lucifer. Lucifer means the light bearer, one who carries the light. He was the most glorious of all of God's creation. And he was cast down from heaven, and he moved from light bearer, prince of darkness. He did not desire to serve God, but he wanted to be God. Now, I don't think we can even attempt to describe that from being light bearer to prince of darkness. What a fall. What a come down. Yeah. Was there ever a point where Lucifer loved God? Well, that would only be conjecture on my point, because it's on my part, because it's not told in Scripture. But you know what? What did God tell the Pharisees? Your father is a devil who was a liar from the beginning. Yeah. The beginning of what? Okay? In other words, the beginning, which was not a beginning, eternity past, or the beginning of the earth, man on the earth, etc. Well, I don't see. I could have not have accepted his deity, but remember, he was never. It's not like he was created perfect. Okay? And he did not have eternal life. He's like the man and the woman in the garden. They had life every day, and it could still be going on today and forever had they not sinned. They both had a free will, and they both chose to sin. But look here, Drago, that at one time, he was the center of the universe, because the star in his tail was the polar star, the North Star. But it fell. He moved. It's no longer the polar star. He's showing his fall, his progressiveness, as no longer the center of the universe, so to speak. And one day, Revelation 20, 7 through 10, he'll be cast into the bottomless pit forever. Okay? Now, the name Hydra means he is the abhorred. Brightest one. Brightest star in Hydra is in his neck, because I thought that's what snakes were. Their heads, tails, and the rest is neck. But the brightest star right here in Hydra's neck is Al-Fahad, P-H-A-R-D, and it means the separated, or the excluded, or the one put out of the way. Another star, the interesting star, means the tearing to shreds of the deceiver. You think there's a message? You think when God named these stars, there was a message there? Satan is the deceiver. He attempts to deceive us. He attempts to think we can be God, that we can stand up to the justice of God, that we can earn our God's merit or favor. He deceives the unbeliever into thinking he can work his way into heaven. He deceives the believer in thinking he can perform his way into spirituality. Well, I was just dead set on... I'm, let's, Let's do this real quick. Let's finish the second cup real quick. Because what I want to do next week is I want to give you a handout with each zodiac in the three decans so you can see them. And I want to give you just a little blurb on each one so you'll have it. And kind of go all the way through again in 1 hour. And we can go all the way through each of the constellations in each decan. You'll have it. And I think it will really help you. But the second decan in Leo is the cup. The cup is attached. The kicker is attached to the hydra, showing identification. This is the cup of God's wrath. You know what? I have about 5 passages that I want to look at. I can't do that. I'm not going to skim through this just so I can be through and be where I want to be. I'm just not going to do it. And because if I'm going to, skim through that, Corvus, the buzzard, skim through that, and so I'll just do that next week, and we'll go as far as we can in our review as I can. But I came close to doing this. Yes, please. Well, that's right, Miss Kirby. I'm not going to finish review in 1 hour. Well, I did, but I wanted to. I wanted to. See, my desires and reality are not always the same. And the reason that I'm not going to be able to do it, otherwise I'm sure I could, is because I want to spend a few minutes on just the last 2 decans of Leo. Yes. Yeah. What even makes you think I'm going to have a New Year's Eve? You know, what? I think the last time I did a New Year's special, it took 2 years. New Year's came, New Year's went. New Year's came, New Year's went. New Year's came, New Year's went. And that's okay. Any questions before we before we go home? What? Why don't you what? Oh, I am so sorry. Just ask. See, Paul said, wives, if you think of any questions on the way to the car, ask your husband. It's in. Yes, Red. Revelation, yeah. 7 is the number of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah, so alluding to the 7 ministries. Good point, the Holy Spirit. You know what I tell them? Maybe after what? I tell them, the problem rests with Jesus. He's the hard nose. Because he said he was the truth, the life, and the way. John 14. And nobody was going to come to God the Father but by him. So if you have a problem with salvation being only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take it up with Jesus.
And one day you will get that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's funny. But Alice, I mean, no, that's your sister. Oh, Alicia, where have you been? Alicia thinks there's only one truth, and if something is true, not everything can be true. Truth is relative, sweetheart. Didn't you know that? Yeah. Which always reminds, it's always, you know, truth is relative, which is an absolute statement. Isn't that right? So, how can there be no absolute, which is an absolute statement? So, yeah, so they're saying that truth is there is no truth. And so then, what they're saying is, and therefore what they're saying is what they truly believe, there is no truth, there is no Jesus who is God. Because he said, I am the truth. And they're saying, no. So they're saying, so they are of their father, Lucifer. You know what? Circle some of those passages and show them and let them read them.
That talking about for faith, and they do not believe in the Trinity or the deity of Christ.
No. Yeah. Well, see, I didn't call Unitarians. They're not in the same group as the Muslims, the Mormons, and Jehovah's Witnesses. They're in that group with the great neck. Christian scientists. Yeah. Yeah, they believe anything. Yeah, they're humanists. Yeah. Okay? Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together and to worship you and make these things truth to us. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dismissed.